All right. Well, if you would please, I want you to open to the book of Galatians, which is where we are going to be spending our time over the next several weeks. I think that this is going to afford us an opportunity to dive into some of the real gospel truths, which I believe are very necessary to know and to understand. And we're going to see this as we get into this. But Galatia was an area that Paul had visited. He had shared the gospel, made known Jesus Christ. And one of the big things that Galatians deals with is the changing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were folks that came in that added things, added requirements for salvation that were requirements not required by God. And so what we see in Galatians are one of the things that we see, we're going to see a number of things, are some of these gospel truths, some of the background, some of the foundation regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is important, it is really important for each of us to know why we believe what we believe. Why do I believe Jesus Christ is Lord? Why do I believe He's the Son of God? Why do I believe He's Messiah? Why do I believe I'm saved? Why do I believe there's a hope? Why do I think these things? Okay. And I should know why. I should understand it. One of the things that we're going to see, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. But one of the things that we're going to see as we get into the epistle to the Galatians is that unlike any other religion on the face of the planet, what we have here is a relationship with God. A relationship with a true God who wants us to know Him and wants us to know that He knows us. And we'll see in the Epistle to the Galatians how this is laid out. Galatia was a region in what is now Turkey, what we call Turkey, the nation of Turkey. And at this time, it was a Roman province. It's Galatia, or Galatia, as named by the Romans, because it had been settled by Celtic Gauls from most around mainland Europe, France, Western Germany, Northern Italy, Belgium, and they had come down and settled this area in Central Asia. And they were Celtic Gauls, hence Galatia. They had, generally speaking, maintained a lot of their culture. So it was kind of a unique place. The cities of, and most of you will remember this, the cities of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, which is where Timothy was from, were in Galatia. Okay. You can read about the itineraries through Galatia in Acts 13 and 14. Most of you will remember this record. I think it was Lystra. Iconium is where they healed a man, and they thought they were gods. I think it was Lystra where they stoned Paul and left him for dead. And that is, perhaps, it's those injuries that are referred to as we get on in the book of Galatians. You can also read about his second itinerary through Galatia in Acts 16. That's where he picked up Timothy from Derbe, which is where Timothy was from. If you remember, he had picked up Timothy, and they were going through Central Asia when they got the vision. And a man from Macedonia said, "Come on over here." And they went to Philippi. Remember? We spent time in the book of Philippians a few months back. And then after Philippians, you know where they went? Thessalonica. And we just finished up Thessalonians. Now, we're going to see here as we read in Galatians, Galatians is very different from what we read in Thessalonians. You remember Thessalonians? They got kicked out because they were persecuted against, and Paul was down in Corinth, had gone to Athens and encouraged Timothy and Silas to come back, and when they got there, Paul says, you know, "How are they doing?" He said, "Oh, Paul, they're doing great. They love you. They are walking and growing." And Paul said, "Get me a pen." And he writes Galatians. Very different. Very different. It is a heavy epistle in that it is dealing with a doctrinal problem. You know, Corinthians primarily deals with behavioral problems, application problems. But in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, it's a doctrinal problem, and it's a doctrinal problem that cuts to the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It cuts to the heart of God's grace. It cuts to the heart of what the cross represents. It cuts to the heart of the price that was paid by Jesus Christ, and that we receive salvation by faith and faith alone. It's one of the reasons Galatians was referred to in some writings as the Magna Carta of the Reformation. Because Galatians lays out very clearly, no work of the flesh will make you righteous before God. We trust in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like we sung, "I stand here before you, no remnant of sin." But not because of what we've done. It's because of what Jesus Christ did. And Galatians spells that out in no uncertain terms. There is no wiggle room. I want to open, before we continue here, with the first six verses of this epistle. And it's very interesting because it's unique. Very different, not only from, as I mentioned, Thessalonians, but from really all of the epistles. Verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Right out of the gate, these are my credentials, and they are not of men, but of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. That's about as clear and succinct a distillation of the gospel that you'll ever read. Right to the chase. Here it is. He gave himself for our sins, that we might be delivered from this evil age. We'll read later on in 5, why do you want to turn back? Why do you want to go back to that evil age? Why do you want to go be slaves again? Right out of the gate. This is who Jesus Christ is, see? Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. No greetings, no compliments, no exhortations, no encouragements. Remember Thessalonians? Oh, you're growing in love. Keep abounding. Keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. I am blown away that you are being removed from what are you doing? There's an open to epistle. It is noteworthy that it opens this way. And it reflects the seriousness and the weight of the issues that had cropped up among the believers in this region of Galatia. Again, very different from what we saw in Thessalonians. Very different from Philippians, from all the epistles. These saints, as declared in verse 6 of chapter 1, were being turned to another gospel, which we'll see is not another. But they were being turned away to something else, something other than the gospel of Christ, something other than the truth. What is being dealt with here is doctrinal, as opposed to, as I mentioned before, behavioral issues, things that were going on at Corinth, for instance. And it cuts to the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, you've got a short greeting here establishing his credentials and a reminder of the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And what we'll see as we get into this is it is going to proclaim the liberty that we have in Christ. It is going to proclaim the grace of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ versus works of the flesh. There were false teachers who were endeavoring to bring these saints into the bondage of requirements other than what is actually required by God. And when this happens, this inevitably will lead to an abandonment of faith and certainly grace. The requirement, and these are typically requirements of men. The requirement, whether a law, a right, a rule of some kind, will ultimately supplant the faith. An example of this would be the doctrine of baptism. I have nothing against baptism. Don't misunderstand me. Baptism's great. but it is not necessary for salvation. If you want to use baptism as a demonstration of what you've done, praise God. But to make the rite or the ceremony of baptism a requirement for salvation is outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Period. End of statement. It's just one example. There are many. Things that men tack on. I've mentioned, and I'm going to mention, four big rocks. There are some other pretty big rocks that we're going to see too as we go through the book of Galatians. But number one is we are justified or we are made righteous by faith alone. That is the requirement of God. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, it reads this: "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." Romans 10, you guys all know this, these verses. Verse 9, beginning in verse 9, reads, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." See? By faith alone. It's by God's grace. One of the things that we're going to see as we go into Galatians, we're going to learn what it means to have to make Jesus Lord. What does Jesus is Lord? What does that mean? Is Christianity just a part-time thing? Is it something that I apply to parts of my life and then other parts not? Am I a Christian when I'm at church and not a Christian when I'm at work? What does lordship mean? It is no longer I that live, but what? Christ that liveth in me. See, that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. That is the being saved that is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. We hear the word, we're saved, we're freed from the wrath to come. We've been judged in Christ, and we are being saved as we continue to grow. Okay. Putting on his word, God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, becoming more and more Christ-like as we grow. Staying put in the gospel. See? Timothy says, grow. He tells Timothy, grow. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grow in your reliance on God and stop relying on yourself. That's what it is to grow in grace. It's to grow in your reliance on God. It's to grow in your reliance on what he has made you rather than what you can do. Isn't that beautiful? There's a humility in that. There's a laying down of self in that. And we're going to see that as we get into this epistle. The second big rock is the receiving of new life by faith from God. Holy Spirit. There's a great question that comes up in the third chapter of Galatians that is answered in a most beautiful, eloquent, and detailed way. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? That's the question. Down in verse 14, it says, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. We'll look at that in a little more detail when we get into chapter 3. The original promise that was made to Abraham, and how that Abraham was made righteous by believing. And nothing that happened in between the promise to Abraham and Christ changes that covenant that he made with Abraham, that in thee all nations will be blessed. We'll see that. We're a part of that. Pretty exciting. That new life is received at the new birth, that conversion, which is a conversion from death and enmity with God to life, eternal life. The receiving of Holy Spirit from God. Any requirement other than faith alone to receive this life from the Father is another gospel. Period. Period. It's another gospel. To teach that one must be circumcised or that one must be baptized or any other requirement to receive eternal life is anathema to the gospel and is not from God. Period. Now, for those who believe certain things, that may be a hard saying, but this is what we're going to see in the book of Galatians. You see, and when you understand that it was by Jesus Christ and the horrible things that he endured, the amazing contradiction of sinners that he endured, the suffering, the torture, the death, the humility, then to say that I can do something, or that I can do something to undo it, is to chip away at the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes back to, doggone it, you made him Lord. What does it mean? What does that mean? See? We got to decide. I'm yelling, sorry. But it's exciting to think about this stuff. Why do I believe this stuff? Where am I going with this? Am I just doing church? Because you know what? I'm almost 70 years old. I don't have a whole lot longer to go here. Am I wasting my time? Am I? I have to know. I have to know. You can come up to me after this and say, oh, Pete, come on. You're not wasting your time. And that's awesome. That's a blessing. But that doesn't do me any good, my heart. I gotta know. See, I gotta know. I gotta know that I'm saved. I gotta know that I belong to Christ. I gotta know that this hope is real. Then we get to Galatians 5. For freedom, it reads, Christ has set us free. Isn't that a beautiful sentence? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Okay, now what? Well, here's what it's not. Don't use that freedom for an occasion to your flesh. Don't make it about you. Don't. Don't do that. but by love, serve one another. Which leads us into the way we grow as Christians. The way we grow as Christians. Galatians 5, verse 16 says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." See, the freedom that we have been released into is freedom from the slavery of sin, the slavery of the flesh, the slavery of the elemental spirits, the elemental principles of the world. We've been released from that, freed. How so? Holy Spirit. Now I can walk with God. Now I can start to enjoy life in a way that God intended me to enjoy it. Maybe not in his fullness. That'll come at the gathering together. But doggone it, we get a nice head start. See, as we grow more Christ-like, as we continue to put the word on and stay put and grow in grace and stop relying on ourselves. I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to one another. And this is, I love this. They are opposed to one another. Flesh, Spirit. Flesh, Spirit. To keep you from doing the things you want to do. Because who works in you? God. You got God's Spirit. See? And that nudging, that desire to be right before God. That desire to be right. See, to love. That desire to serve. Even if it's hard sometimes, it's in you. That's God. That's the Spirit of God. That's the life of God. Isn't that amazing? We're no longer in bondage to the desires of the flesh. So we're going to see some of these wonderful truths in Galatians 5. And it's Spirit, that keeping in step with the Spirit, with that Spirit of God, is the how of not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The fourth big thing we're going to consider here is fruit. The evidence of the growth. That fruit of the Spirit issues from this life of God, from this life that is born within. The creamy caramel center of the fruit of the Spirit, its essence, is love. That's its essence. It lists nine things, but its essence is love. Christianity is about life and a relationship with God. It's not about rules, regulations, creeds, or rituals. It's not about you. It's about your Lord Jesus Christ. It's about your brother, and it's about your sister. And we'll see that as we get into this amazing epistle. By love, serve one another. And we're going to see in chapter 6 some of the practical application, of what that looks like. That's that by love serving one another. Okay?
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to spending time in this epistle together, and I think we're going to see some wonderful things. All right? So I'm going to close with prayer. Well, gracious Father, we're so thankful to you for your word. How you've given us your word, Father. How you've given us spirit. Thank you, Father, that we can grow in knowledge, in appreciation, that we can grow in our walks. That, Father, the things that we see in your word can be lifted off of these pages and lived for others to see, Father. Thank you for the great love that you have demonstrated in the giving of your Son, and how that, Father, you have enabled us to make that love known to others. Help us, Father, as we dive into these things in this amazing little epistle, as we consider its big truths. Thank you for these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.